feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather by the river, the beautiful river. Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather by the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints by the river that flows by the throne of God.
I'll ask all those who have responsibilities to follow the program, and when your turn comes, just come up and make your presentation. So, Dick, will you come up now and read the obituary?
The obituary of Katharina Penner Brandt. Katharina Brandt died peacefully the morning of February the 18th at the Rest Haven home in Steindike. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Katharina Brandt was born on December the 16th, 1900, to her parents, Peter R. and Anna Lone Penner, in the original pioneer village of Blumenort. Her parents moved to the farm in 1910. A good part of the present village of Blumenort is situated on her parents' original farm. It was here that she grew up, received her education, and helped along with the busy life of a pioneer farm. At the age of 17, she received Christ as her Savior and Lord, was baptized and accepted as a member into the Kleine Gemeinde Church, later the EMC, where she remained as a faithful member. On April the 17th in 1921, she was joined in marriage to our father, John U. Brandt. They enjoyed and shared the blessings and hardships of life together for 58 years and 6 months. Dad died August the 21st of 1979. To their marriage were born 7 children, 2 sons and 5 daughters. Albert, Sarah, Annie, Aaron Platt, Jesse, Diedrich Thiessen, Lena, Peter Platt, Leonard, Susie, Norma, Elvin Salt, and Margaret, Elvin Penner. There are 45 grandchildren and a number of great and great-grandchildren. Mother was predeceased by her husband, John Brandt, 2 grandsons, 2 great-granddaughters and 1 great-grandson, 1 great-great-grandson, 3 brothers, Peter, Abe, and Isaac, and sisters, Margaret and Betty. She leaves to cherish her memory, us as a family, 1 brother, John Penner, 3 sisters, Annie Platt, Mary Weeb, and Helen Penner, 1 brother-in-law, Peter K. Reimer, 1 sister-in-law, Catherine Penner, and a host of relatives and friends. Our parents started their marriage as pioneers in the Landmark area, where they farmed for 6 years. Then they moved to McTavish, where they farmed 4 years. In the spring of 1931, they returned to Blumenort. In 1940, they bought and moved onto Grandpa Penner's farm until their retirement. In June of 1979, they moved into their retirement home on 2nd Avenue in Blumenort. We feel that Proverbs 31:10-31 describes our mother fairly well. She had many admirable characteristics. She was generous, hospitable, spiritually concerned for family, friends, and neighbors, industrious and hardworking. Her hands were busy, seldom idle. She loved her garden, her fruit trees, and under her loving care, it normally produced well, enough for her own use, and loved lots to give away. She loved to share of the good things the Lord had blessed her with. But then in the fall of 1918, her life changed dramatically. She had a stroke, paralyzing her right side, and her speech was restricted. She recovered to the point that she could walk again, but the use of her right hand was restricted and her speech did not come back. Her determination to help do her share was still there. Her hands were still busy. The more complicated handwork had to be laid aside, but she spent much time covering coat hangers. She must have covered thousands of them, which she distributed to her family for Christmas each year. All of us have a good supply. However, her speech restrictions caused her many frustrations. Although she could not express herself, she enjoyed fellowship and was socially inclined. We could only imagine how she felt, how she agonized trying to tell us things. And we could not understand her mumblings. Eventually, she needed home care, and in June of 1990, she was moved to the Rest Haven home. Her hands were now idle. It was very difficult to communicate, but we trust that in these years, her communication lines with her Lord and Master were well used, and her mind was stayed on Christ. Isaiah 26:3 reads, "Thou shalt find him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." We would like to express our appreciation and thanks to the nursing home staff for the love and the care that they showed our mother during her stay there. Thank you.
As a grandson, I have many memories of running through the bushes where much of the town is built today. I was swimming in the gravel pits. But my thoughts today will focus on my grandmother. I remember her as a very hard worker. Idleness was not one of her sins. She and Grandpa, often came to our house to help us butcher hogs, make noodles and cottage cheese pierogies, can corn and tomatoes, pick apples and store them away. When all this was done, she would beg for things to mend. Never would she just sit. I think she spoiled my mom. They would also travel to Merrifield for a week or more at a time to help their children out there. I remember her as a good gardener. She even grew lemons in the house. The highlight came when we were invited for some lemon pie. When hoeing in the garden, she carried the file to sharpen the hoe as needed, because of the stones, of course. Her strawberry patch was tended carefully and sprinkled daily. She herself would pick them and then give them away. She obviously had some secrets on gardening. I remember collecting and delivering horse manure for her greenhouse. That was the best. What really impressed me was her determination to get rid of quack grass. When she started a new patch of garden, she would actually sift through the dirt by hand and sort out all the quack roots. I could hardly believe it. I remember her as being kind to animals. She had a saying in German that went something like this: "Don't torture animals. It hurts them just as much as it hurts us." I remember her as a thrifty lady. I'm sure during the dirty 30s, she learned not to be wasteful. She went apple picking with us and would pick the good ones off the ground. She would not approve of us eating part of one and throwing the rest away. Wer das Tiny nicht isst, ist das Dritte nicht wert. In other words, if you don't appreciate the small things in life, you don't deserve the bigger ones. I remember her warming up her ice cream in the microwave before eating it. That was a new one to me. Her home remedies of carrot juice and black wagon grease also intrigued me. Most of all, I remember her as a very godly woman. Appearance of evil. She did not like arguments or confrontations. She would not gossip or even laugh at someone else. She took life seriously. She was a peacemaker. I remember a granddaughter throwing a pouting fit. Grandma tried to entice her to snap out of it. The granddaughter got the attention she wanted and candy to boot. But Grandma believed in her and would not give up. Grandma made an honest effort to speak English to accommodate the in-laws and the grandchildren. Grandma and Grandpa took me back home from Merrifield, Saskatchewan once. Grandma would then open her gospel songbook to the first song in the book. She would sing every one till the end, or till her shrill voice gave out. She was very concerned that all her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren love the Lord and serve Him. I'm convinced that during the years when her speech was gone, she spent much time praying for each one of us. The only true tribute we can give her is to walk in the footsteps of Christian commitment. I love you, Grandma.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is o'er, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. It's
a privilege to be involved in a service where we say farewell, where we pause to worship and remember. It's a privilege to be involved in a service where we do this to my aunt, Katharina Brandt, or whom I know as Tante Teen, and I will refer to her as that as I speak today. Some of you are probably wondering, who is this Peter Penner who is involved in the service this afternoon? Some of you already have figured that out, and some of you are still guessing. Let me relieve your anxious minds. My dad is John L. Penner, who is a brother to Katharina Brandt, whom we remember here today. So for some of you, that will at least place me in the context of the family. How do we adequately respond to the death of a 98-year-old loved one? 98 years, that's a very long time. In fact, if I am to reach that age, I have over 40 years to go. And even that seems like a long time. How do we adequately respond to the death of a 98-year-old loved one? I suppose one of the things we Penners could do is to say, well, we have a good genetic makeup, and that's the way it works for many of us. We are made up in such a way that at least a number of us get to live a ripe old age. And in fact, we could toot our horn over that and say, well, in fact, being able to live that long is quite something, and it's too bad that not everybody can. And we could then spend some time talking about how well we are made up. Or we could listen to my father, who of course has his way of telling us how we can live long, and that is to eat properly. And he has a diet, bran, chili, and grapes, and probably stewed prunes. I think that would be about it, and he would like us to know, I believe, that that's the way to live long. But still, how do we respond? How do we respond to a loved one who is 98 years old? That's almost a century. That's a very long time. I suppose in Tante Teen's case, we could probably stop and say, well, finally it's over. Meaning that well, of course. Her suffering is over. Her years of silence, not being able to live life the way she surely would have wanted to live it, that's finally over. And so now we say farewell and we share a few memories and we place her beside Uncle John in the gravesite and we carry on with life, and that, of course, would be right. But you know, Tante Tina, of course, we all know, wasn't always handicapped. As we've already heard, she lived a rich and full life, and she meant a great deal to many people. And that's what we come to pause over today and remember and reflect on, as well, of course, as her last years. I think we're helped in our reflecting by looking at something that we find in the book of Job. Job, that fascinating character in the Old Testament, a character